Good morning, this is John Beaner with Wise Counsel, and you're listening to the Marketplace Witness Show. Again, we have Dr. Susan Dyer. This is part two of the session we started last week where she talks about prayer, and it's amazing. And we're going to join in right now. You almost need to take notes if you've got a pen in hand. But she's talking about how she had to terminate someone and how God led her to bless that person and then what happened next. So let's go ahead and join in with Susan Dyer.
One of the things that God has shown me, the power of speaking a blessing over my enemy. And I said, God, show me more about speaking a blessing. This past spring, I was supposed to release a teacher because he or she wasn't doing the position they were supposed to be doing. Actually, it was three people. And I said, God, I will release them, but you got to show me exactly how to do this. And he took me to Genesis 49 when Jacob called his children and he blessed them. And he said, I want you to bring the correction, and then I want you to release them with a blessing. And so I called them in and I spoke with them. And then I said, I really feel like the Lord would like me to bless you. So I blessed them. The one person came back the next weekend and he said, you know, you are absolutely right. Everything that you said, if you give me another chance, I believe that I can turn this situation around. And God said, you saved his job by blessing him. The next person that I had to speak with, I said, God, a wise man's heart discerns time and judgment according to Ecclesiastes 8:5. This person has stepped into sin. I don't know how to bring correction without wounding the spirit. How do you want me to do it? And he said, just start off blessing her. Pray the word over her. And if you read the word, it says, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you bring your tithe and offering into the storehouse, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you can't contain. If you observe and meditate on my word day and night and do all that's written therein, you will make your way prosperous and have good success. There is always a condition with the promise. He said, pray those conditions and those promises over her and bless her. And all of a sudden she started weeping and she said, I've got to confess to you, I've been mad at God. My husband has left me, he's with someone else, and I've been blaming God. My heart hasn't been... So that brought repentance. And I said, Father, there is a secret in speaking the blessing. I want to know the power of the blessing. And he reminded me when he created Adam, he breathed life into the dust. That's the breath of God in us. He also said, that's the same breath that in Genesis 1 hovered over the waters, and when it spoke, it separated light from darkness. He said, your breath, speaking the word of God, is Hebrews 4:12, that his word separates the spirit from the soul. Now, whatever is born of the spirit is spirit, according to John 3:6. So the spirit of this young lady was born again. That's not the problem. It's her soul. The soul is where the emotion, the will, and the desire is. But the word of God came to her, separated the spirit from the soul, opened heaven. So she heard the word of the Lord for her. She received the word of the Lord. She repented and she corrected her way. She saved her position because of the repentance. So there's a lot of power in blessing your enemies and praying for those that despitefully use and persecute you. The Lord also said, I see a bigger picture. He said, sometimes I trust my children with assignments that I could trust nobody else with because I know that they're going to respond with my heart. A couple years ago, we had a young couple in our church and they became pregnant and they found out that the baby didn't have a brain, just the brain stem. So we all got together, and boy, we knew we serve a God of miracles. We did nothing but speak the word over that baby. We did all that we knew to do. And one of my favorite verses to pray over healing is Romans 8:11. The same spirit that raised up Christ from the dead is quickening and awakening your mortal body. So I command every cell, every tissue, every organ, every system to line up and to function in the perfection to which God created to function. That's how I prayed over that baby. And I said, Father, you are no respecter of persons. Jesus came to heal all. You're going to heal this little baby. And the doctor did not know the Lord. And the doctor said, you better abort this baby. There's no way this baby's going to live. You need to abort it. And they just said, no, we don't believe in aborting. We believe that we need to pray. We're believing for a miracle. We have our church. Our baby is going to be well. When the baby was born, the baby did not have the brain. And the doctor was so upset, he took the baby and laid it on the mother's stomach and said, see, I told you. And he turned on his heels and he left. They had 4 hours to spend with their little Emily before she went home to be with the Lord. They dedicated her. They gave her back. And the next day I found out, I said, God, we did exactly what you asked us to do. We spoke nothing but the word. I don't understand what happened. And that's when he said, in the end times, some of your assignments are going to be very dear and very dramatic. But I know what's going to touch the heart of the lost. I care about that doctor. And I knew that those parents, even though their prayers weren't answered the way that they wanted them to be, their prayer, their faith would still remain strong. That doctor is going to see that kind of faith. That's what's going to move his heart. And sure enough, those parents still loved the Lord. They were in church the next Sunday. They gave God the glory that their daughter was with the Lord and they would see her someday. Because of that assignment that opened heaven for this doctor, the thing that moves God is faith. And that faith opened a door for the person that despitefully used them and persecuted them, giving them unrighteous counsel. So our assignments will not be easy. But he's going to use these assignments to build character in us. The next thing, people never change what they believe until their belief system doesn't work, not doesn't produce. What you're believing right now, are you getting fruit? Are you getting joy? Are you getting peace? Is there any area where there is a stirring and there's an unsettling and an unrest? Something has to change. Something has to die. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. So if you don't like the harvest that you've been reaping, what are the seeds that you've been sowing? One of the most serious seeds that we speak are found in Proverbs 20:18. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. What are the words that you're speaking over your children? What are the words that you're speaking in the workplace? Do those need to change? My daughter called me Sunday. I am probably the most blessed mother in the world. My son is a minister. He came to Jacksonville for 7 months to be trained by Pastor Zink. Then he went back to start a church in Maine. And the church has grown, and he invited my daughter and her husband to come be part of the ministry. So now my son-in-law is the associate pastor, my son the pastor, my daughter-in-law is minister of music, and my daughter is minister of the children's group. So all four of them are together. Could a mother ask for a sweeter prayer than that? Mm-hmm. No. But she called me Sunday morning, and she said, Mother, I'm just so discouraged. There aren't any new families coming in. Nobody will help with the children. I can't find the children's worker here. She started listing all these things. And I said, Kim, you've just written a job description for you on how to pray. You take all of those concerns, those issues, and you find out what is the Father's heart on this. And you write a prayer, and you keep praying that prayer until it comes to pass. And that's called a scripted prayer. And that's the piece that I want to give to you. I don't think I'm going to have a chance to go through all this. This is way too long, about 4 or 5 different sessions. But the Lord first showed me this a few years ago when I was raising the children. My son was one of these perfect kids. God had his hand on him. His name is Kirk, which means dweller in the house of God. So every time we would speak his name, we were actually releasing his destiny into him and didn't even know it. But he was coming under persecution. And by the way, whether you are a child or an adult, if you're being persecuted, you're blessed. Because the world isn't persecuted. Only those that are doing kingdom business are persecuted. So this person was belittling him and just saying all kinds of negative things. This was a person that was very influential in his life. And I said, Father, I am so wounded right here. I just really don't know what to pray and what to do. Show me your heart. How would you have me pray? And that's when the Lord had me started scripting prayers. And so we said, what is the desire of your heart? And I said, the desire of my heart is that you set righteous people in my son's life that will only give him good counsel, that will edify him, exhort him, and build him up in the ways of God. Even though he lives in the secular world, I want him to be light. And he said, well, what is your desire for your son? And I said that my son will only receive the things that will build him up and that he will know the potential that's in him for the kingdom of God. And then he said, well, what are the scriptures that match that? So I went to the Word and I found all the scriptures that I could find. And I wrote that prayer and I prayed that prayer until I saw a change. But the prayer began with me. I said, Father, fill me with love that's very patient and kind, never jealous or envious, never selfish, haughty, or rude. Fill me with Christ's love that does not demand its own way. It is not irritable or touchy, does not hold grudges, will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. I continued praying a scripted prayer over myself first, because I was the one that was offended, over the person that needed to have the blessing. And that's when the Lord showed me a vessel can only pour out what's been poured in. The person that was speaking all these negative things, nothing good had been poured into him. I needed to pour something good into him. So I prayed blessings over him. Father, I thank you that he has a mouth and wisdom which even his adversary shall not be able to gainsay or resist. The Spirit of the Lord rests upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of you. You bring him to quick understanding so that he not judged by the sight of his eyes or reproved by the hearing of his ear. He stands in righteousness. So I continued praying that the whole thing turned. When you pray the blessing, the life of God is released into that circumstance, into that situation, and you will see change. Now, one of the things about a scripted prayer is that a scripted prayer keeps you focused. And you're only praying the Word of God. The Word of God does not return void, but it accomplishes and prospers wherein it's sent. You also keep your mind focused on the positive. You're not thinking about the things that are happening in the natural. And because you are focused on things that are above, God can open the eyes of your understanding. So now all of a sudden we're partakers of His nature, His character. And we can respond like God responds. How does He respond to us when we sin or fall short? He delivers us, not because of our faith, but because of His grace and His faithfulness to His promise. So if you are carrying the breath of God in you, and you are speaking the Word, things are subject to change. Calling those things that are not as though they are. Let's look at the second to the last page. I want to show you a scripted prayer. First of all, you find out what God wants to do in your life, then you ask Him to do it. But you have to listen before you pray. Now, there is an issue. There is a concern. There is something on your heart. You can't tell me there's not. If not, you're not doing anything for the kingdom of God. And we may as well buck up. Our whole life down here is going to be warfare. Because the adversary is never going to leave us alone. That is his job, for us to lose our destiny. He's not going to get my destiny, because I know who I am in the Lord. I am filled with the Holy Ghost and power. I go about doing good, healing all that are oppressed by the devil, because God is in me. And the words that I speak are not of myself, but of the Father, for He is in me and He does the work. Do you realize what you are carrying on the inside of you? Godhead. The Holy Spirit, who teaches, leads, and guides you into all truth. Do you realize when you step into a room, you are carrying, like the Ark of the Covenant, His presence. And wherever the Ark of the Covenant went, there was a blessing that was released into the atmosphere, into the people. That's who you are. Ezekiel 9:4 says that we are marked for the kingdom of God. We are sealed by the blood of the Lamb. So we go before the Father, and with confidence we say, Father, show me your will. What is happening here? How can the maximum glory be released into this situation? What is my responsibility and what is my part? So the first thing in a scripted prayer, it provides careful, considered details for a plan of action that agrees with the heart of God. So what is the desire of your heart concerning a particular situation, circumstance, or person? So you go before the Lord and you sit and listen. You listen to the voices. Now, when you weigh the voice, it'll be a thought. It'll be an inclination. It could be a picture. And let's just say that the enemy's coming to steal your time. If the thought is negative, just say, I resist you, devil. I submit myself to God. I want to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to me. Before I go into prayer, a lot of times I pray Ephesians 1, 17, 18. Father, breathe on me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Let the eyes of my understanding be enlightened, that I may know the hope of my calling and the riches of the glory, the inheritance of the saints, and the exceeding greatness of the power toward me, because I believe. You know what that power is? It's the anointing that lifts every burden. God's word's final authority. Separates the spirit from the soul. And then I listen. Sometimes God will give me a word. And then I'll use my concordance and I'll look that word up. I'll meditate on, I'll soak on that word and think about the word and say, Father, show me more. I'm hungry. The Lord told me one time, he said, those that linger receive the lion's portion. If you don't get in a hurry. One of the things that happens when we go to prayer, it's like popcorn. We start praying, another thought comes, and we go over here, then we go over here. We don't stay focused. And that's one of the advantages of a scripted prayer. It's God's word, and it will accomplish and prosper if you keep praying that word. So you got to have that perseverance, that determination. This is God's word. It's going to happen, and I'm not going to stop praying until I see the fruit of this prayer. That kind of passion moves the hand of God. Then the second step is describe how you would like the situation or circumstance to appear. So when I was doing this for you, I did a scripted prayer on the next page. I said, God, I would like every business person to have a purposeful, a happy life in home and in the workplace. I want that for you. I want you to be able to stand before God the Father at the end of every day and have him say, well done. You did a good job today. You had a chance to pick up an offense and you didn't. You had a chance to be angry and you didn't. You had a chance to really ream somebody out and you didn't. Well done. Amen. And then my next thought is, well, describe how you would like this to appear. I would like men to respond to the family members at home and in the workplace as God would. I want you to take on his nature, his character, the way that he responds to his creation. That's what his glory actually is. His glory is revealed in his mercy. You give the gift of time to someone that's falling short. You mentor, you train, you equip them, but you give them mercy. You give them grace where their weaknesses are. You build into that, just like God did us. Grace is not only unmerited favor, but it's the power of his love to fill in where our weaknesses are. And so he did that for us. We do it for others. You show compassion if you're showing glory. You're showing faithfulness. You're showing forgiveness. You're showing justice and truth. That's God's glory in you. Isaiah 61 says, arise and shine. For the light has come and the glory of the Lord is revealed in you. The workplace, your family should see those attributes in you. Do you know, you can do a test to find out how you're doing by checking how people respond to you. How do they define you? Are your children happy when you come home? Or do they have to walk very circumspectly? Dad's home. Let's make sure the house is clean. Let's make sure. What kind of spirit are you releasing into your home? What happens in the workplace when you step in? Are they honoring you? Are they saying, shh, here he comes? Really, how do your family define you? How does the workplace define you? How do you define God? How you define God shows where your faith level is. Whenever you're put in a situation that's very crunched and squeezed, what's the first thing that comes out of your mouth? Deuteronomy 8:2 said, I allowed those Israelites to wander for 40 years to humble them, to prove them, to find out what was in their heart, whether or not they would be faithful unto me. So the Lord allows the refiner's fire to humble you, to prove you, to find out what is in your heart. Think about the last time you got upset. What was in your heart? What came out? That's who you are. That defines you. So describe how you would like this to appear. I want you to have the heart of God. What scriptures match this? I want you to have the heart of David. So I would pray Acts 13:18. I want you to have wisdom. If any man lacking wisdom, let him ask of me who giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not. I want you to have the love walk. Be a follower and imitator of Jesus, who willingly gave himself as an offering and a sacrifice. Then I would write a prayer that entwines the desire of my heart with the heart of the Father to release a blessing. This is the prayer that I prayed over you. Father, I thank you for the men and women of God. I ask that you give them a heart of David, that they respond in wisdom as you would. Help them to be followers of Jesus and to walk in love as Christ did when he gave himself as an offering and a sacrifice. May their business associates and family members recognize your wisdom in them and honor them as men and women of integrity and character. In Jesus' name I pray. A couple years ago, the Lord said, you know, you're really praying nice prayers, but I want you to step it up a notch. And I said, well, God, what do you mean? And he said, read Ezekiel 37. Sometimes God will just drop scriptures. I have no clue what it is. I have to look it up to find it. And it says that the hand of God took Ezekiel to the valley of dry bones. And in the spirit, he said, Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, well, God, only you know. And God said, prophesy. Speak unto the valley of dry bones. Now, when you prophesy, that means that you hear the word of God, you speak the word of God, and you speak it in faith because it's the word of God, which separates the spirit from the soul. And then he said, I want you to change your prayers. I want you to start prophesying. You've already asked me for these. Ask and you shall receive. Now start speaking it into existence. For the things that are in the natural are subject to change. When we become supernatural people and we only speak supernatural blessings. So he changed the way that I pray. First of all, I'll say the prayer and I'll ask for it. Then I'll prophesy. And he said, Susan, when Ezekiel prophesied, the bones and the flesh came together and there was a mighty army rising up. And then he said, I commanded him to prophesy again. The second time that he prophesied, the breath of God was placed into the army. And then he said, I want you to prophesy again. And when he did the third time, a vision was given unto the army. So that showed me I need to prophesy, keep speaking it into existence until I finally see the fruit of it. Don't give up by doing it once. There is a steadfastness that moves the heart and hand of God. And during the whole process, he's making and building you up to be a better person. So now I'm changing the tense of this prayer and I'm prophesying over you right now. I heard the word of God. I'm speaking the word of God with authority in faith, knowing that it's the word of God and that we will not return void, but it will accomplish and prosper in your life. Father, I thank you that you have raised up a mighty men of valor who walk in integrity, wisdom, and character. Honor, sensitivity, and compassion have increased because they respond to business associates. They respond to family members with the love that flows from your heart. Your spirit rests upon them. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of you. The Holy Spirit has taught them to profit and has led them in the way, the straight way. There is no worry, fret, or anxiety as peace and understanding have increased during times of adversity. These men do not judge by the sight of their eyes or reprove by the hearing of their ears. They stand in righteousness with an anointing that lifts every burden and destroys every yoke. They are blessed going in and going out. They are promoted and honored as the head, not the tail. Witty ideas are coming to them. Business associates seek out their counsel. New associations are coming to them as boundaries have increased and new opportunities have come. All they put their hand to do is blessed. Your sons prosper and walk in divine health, for their minds are renewed by the word of God. We thank you for hearing and answering this declaration. In Jesus' name, amen. Job 22:28 says, decree a thing, it'll be established. I just made a decree over you. What will you do with the word of the Lord this day? Will you look at the adverse times differently? Will you know what you have inside of you and that God's word is final authority? Before I left Bangor, I was walking around. I had a circular driveway, just walking around. And I said, Father, what's my first assignment before I'm released? And he said, I want you to prophesy. I want you to call in the curriculum. I want you to call in the desks, the chairs. I want you to call in the teachers. Call in the wealth that will accomplish this project that I have released. I started prophesying. I saw it come to pass in 1 year because I spoke the word of God. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life. We thank you, Father, that we can have a personal, intimate relationship with you. And Father, the cry of our heart is more. We want to know you more, the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your suffering. For your word says that they that know the Lord shall be strong and do exploits. Father, I pray that blessing over these business people. I thank you, Father, that you have chosen them. You have ordained them to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. Father, I ask that you bless them, that you make them the head, not the tail, above and not beneath, that you bless their going in, their going out. You bless the fruit of their womb. You bless them with everything that they put their hand to do. Father, let them know that they are carrying you inside of them and that they are light. They are life, for they have come to the fountain of life to receive the light, to shine as light. And you've given them a more sure word of prophecy that they are to take heed to shine as light in a dark place till the day dawn and the day star arises. So, Father, we ask that the eyes of their understanding be enlightened, that they can see into the future. Father, what are the plans that are too big, too much that you have for this group of people? Father, we ask that you increase their revelation. Bring them to dreams and visions. Bring them to a place where they can sit at your feet and learn of you. You be their teacher. You be their Rabboni. You be their Adonai, their all in all, their Lord and their master. Father, teach them to profit. Lead them in the way that they should go. Let them be like a Moses. Father, I'll go, but show me your glory. And your goodness came to them. Father, we thank you for the blessing, the empowerment to prosper in every area of our life. And as you pour it in, Father, we'll pour it out. Yes. For you said in the last days that there'd be a transference of wealth. And we are just to be the distribution centers. So you give it to us so that we can give it to others. Yes. And then we'll let our light shine in a dark place. Yes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, this is John Beaner. I hope that you got some great insights from Susan Dyer. Was that amazing or not? I mean, I can listen to her time and time again, and every time God just opens a new channel in my heart to understand what she's talking about in praying effectively and building your relationship with the Lord. Again, if you want to contact us, you can reach us at AskWiseCounsel.com. AskWiseCounsel.com. We'd love to hear from you, and we look forward to you joining us again next Saturday.